Begin the current Tav Masechta Shabbos Daf Mem Tes. We begin four lines up from the top of the Yamin. The Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin, discussing the different things that we are not allowed to do Hatmana with. That is, insulating something of a cooked dish from Erev Shabbos. That is, it cannot be in something that's Moisev Hevel, that increases the intensity of the heat. Although it's being done in Erev Shabbos, one is not allowed to do it in things that increase the heat. And one of the items is, the Gemara begins, is Bezman Shehin Lachen. It was talking about kash, regarding straw. The straw is forbidden to, again, insulate something from before Shabbos even, and that is even if it's a cooked dish, if it's going to increase the intensity of the heat. That is, if the straw is moist. However, if it's dry, then the Mishnah was saying that that's going to be permitted. Now, the Gemara discusses exactly this, that we said that straw that's moist, that's wet, that's forbidden to insulate from Erev Shabbos because that increases the intensity. The Gemara has a question about that. Iboilu, they had the following question. Lachen machmas atzman, are we talking about that the straw is moist internally from itself? And that is, when it's wet from itself, it's hotter than if it was dry, and then after it was dry, then it got moist from something else. Or maybe even if it was dry from its own, from within. However, it became wet and became moist from something from without, would that also be included in something that's in the straw that's considered wet, that it would be considered that you cannot use it as hatmana to insulate in it, because that would also be considered increasing the intensity of the heat, although it's obvious on a lower level than when the item itself is considered wet. So the Gemara wants to bring a proof from our Mishnah, Toshima, we learned in our Mishnah, that some of the items that one is not allowed to insulate from Erev Shabbos because they increase the intensity of the heat is loy b'teva, not with straw, v'loy b'zogim, not with grape skins, v'loy b'mucha, not with flockings, v'loy b'asav, not with grass, and these items are only b'smachein lachen, when they're moist. And therefore, the Gemara develops the proof as follows. If you're going to say that, it doesn't have to be moist from within. It could even get wet from outside. So then it would make sense how all these items can be wet and that it would be forbidden to insulate with them from before Shabbos. But if it has to be, for it to be considered increasing the intensity of the heat, that would be forbidden because of hatman of insulating, that has to come from within. So where do you ever find the case of muchen of flockings, which are things that are like cotton, things which are soft, that they can have their own or shearings of wool from an animal? How do you have that they're internally moist? The animal is not internally moist. You can make it wet from without, but how do you ever have from within? So obviously, that the halacha that makes it aser is even if it's from without. So Rashi Gemara says, no, it's not true, because mimorta debeini atme, because you could have it from the pluckings that are between the thighs. And that is the wool that's between the thighs of the animal is very sweaty over there. And therefore it's moist from itself. And that's why it's called pluckings, because it can't be sheared. It's just, so to speak, stuck between the thighs. And therefore it's not a proof, because you could say you could have flockings that are moist from within, from internally, not from externally. But then the Gemara asked, but v'hod tani Rabbi Yisha learned in the Braisa that toimnim b'chsus yevesha u'beperis yevesha, that you're allowed to insulate with clothing that are dry and with produce that's dry. But not with clothing that is moist and with produce that's moist. And therefore, how do you have clothing that's internally moist and not from something else? Obviously, the article of clothing that was developed has to get wet from something else. There's no internal moistness to an article of clothing. So Rashi Gemara says, no, something like we just said, it's mimorta debeini atmi, we're talking about the pluckings that are from between the thighs, and then they went and sewed that up into an article of clothing, and therefore it was still moist, because that's what the animal is very sweaty over there. And therefore the Gemara did not resolve the question if this element that it has to be moist regarding these items, is it that only if it's moist from within, or could it even be moist from without? The Gemara did not resolve that question. Now we continue on to the next mission, which the Gemara continues discussing the sugya, the concept of hatmana, and it says about the things that we are allowed to do hatmana and insulate from before Shabbos, because these things do not increase the intensity of the heat, it just maintains it, and therefore that's not forbidden on Erev Shabbos. So the mission begins, taimnin b'chsus, one is allowed to do insulate and do hatmana with articles of clothing, u'beperis and with produce, and these are the things that, for example, like wheat and beans, what's known as kidneys, with dove's feathers, ubinasari shall harashim, and a carpenter's sawdust, ubinari shall pishtundaka, and with the combings of fine flax. However, Behuda Oyser Bedaka, Behuda says that it's forbidden if these combings of the flax are very thin, very fine, then it would be forbidden to insulate with that. However, Umata Bagas, however, he agrees that it would be permitted if it's very coarse. So now the Gemara just discusses, once we mentioned kamfi yayna, that dove's feathers are permitted to insulate with it because it doesn't increase intensity, it just maintains. The Gemara brings a story related to that. Amr b'yanai, tefillin tzrichin gof noki. That tefillin require a clean body. And we know this, Ke'elisha ba'al kanafayim, like Elisha, the winged one. To which the Gemara asks, Mahi, what is this halacha that we find by Elisha, that he was this prototype, so to speak, that he had a guf naki? What does it mean to have a clean body? So the Gemara gives two interpretations. Abaya amash le'yafich, and it means that one is not allowed to pass wind while wearing tefillin, that you have to be able to, so to speak, withstand, and if you have the urge, the need, you'll be able to withstand it. That's the necessary ingredient, what's called a guf noki, to be able to wear tefillin. That's why children don't do chinuch regarding tefillin, because they cannot contain themselves. And the second pshat is Rav Amash le'yishim b'hem, that he should be able to control himself, that he won't fall asleep. Because what's wrong with sleeping with tefillin? Because then he might pass wind, or that he might see Kerry, he might have a seminal emission. However, if he could control himself that he won't fall asleep with the tefillin, then everybody is considered clean regarding passing wind, because everybody could, so to speak, hold it back. That's Ravin's interpretation in contrast to Abaya, although he agrees that it's necessary to have a guf noki, but he says everybody, if he's up, if he's awake, can hold himself back. It's the only problem is if you fall asleep, then you might just pass wind, not consciously, and therefore that's the necessary ingredient, that you only have to make sure that you won't fall asleep with him. Now the Gemara goes back and asks, by my Kari Le'bal Kanafayim, why was Elisha called the winged one? So the Gemara says, because related to a story that happened with him once. Shepamachas gozer malchus rei mihersha gezer al Yisrael. Because one time the wicked Roman government, they made a decree against Klal Yisrael. Shekolam aneich tefillin yinakres meicha, that whoever places tefillin on his head, that his brains will be gouged out. And that is because since the brain is right under where the place of the tefillin is, that was, so to speak, their form of justice. But Elisha, he would put on tefillin, he would go out to the marketplace. Ra'o kaster echad, so once an officer of the Roman government saw him. Ratz mipanav, v'ratz achrav, he was running away from him, and he was running after him. V'kivin shegiya etzlai, but once he finally caught up with him, not l'miroishay v'achzim yad, he took it off his head, and he was holding it in his hands. Amalai mazeh biyotchai, says, what are you holding in your hand? He obviously knew what he had. Amalai kanfiyayna, I have dove's wings. And as the Gemara is going to explain, because tefillin and the wings of the bird, they're a reference to mitzvahs, because these are the things that protect Klal Yisrael, and it's like the wings of the dove, which Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove, and therefore the wings are like the mitzvahs. As the Gemara says, Pashet es yadai, v'nimtzu kanfiyayna, a miracle happened, he opened up his hands, and tefillin weren't there, dove's wings were there. The fikach kari noy say Elisha bat kanafayim. That's why they called him Elisha the winged one, because of the miracle that happened with him, in the schus that he wore the tefillin, and he wasn't afraid. To which the Gemara asked him, Maishna kanfiyayna m'shari, why'd he pick that? You know, he could have said anything. Why did he say the dove's wings from all the other birds? Because Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, kanfiyayna nechba b'kesav v'goymer, that the dove's wings that are covered with silver, and that was a reference to Klal Yisrael. And the idea of the mitzvahs in regards to the wings are ma yoyna kanafel meginislo, just like a dove. Its wings is what protects it. Af Yisrael mitzvahs meginislo, so to Klal Yisrael, the mitzvahs, the commandments that we do, that we follow from Hashem, is what protect us. And that is because the dove's wings, it's the wings protected from the cold, from other birds, from mankind that are coming to attack it, and it fights with the wings, and it uses the tip of the wings to fight, whereas all the other birds, they use their beaks. Therefore, it's compared to the wings of a dove, that the same thing for Klal Yisrael, what protects them, what helps them to get away, to fly above and beyond, are the mitzvahs. Now the Gemara continues discussing the mission that says one of the items that were allowed to be used for Hatman on Erev Shabbos, because it only maintains the heat, does not increase the heat, is b'nesaris shel charoshin, and that a carpet is sawdust, and v'chulu, and the next case was that the combings are fine flax, which Rabbi Yehuda said that no, fine flax is forbidden. However, if it's gasa, if it's coarse, then it's going to be permitted. On that the Gemara asks, Ibailuhu, Rabbi Yehuda, this that Rabbi Yehuda says that fine is prohibited, but coarse is permitted, what was he going back? There was two possible cases. He was going back on the case right before, which was the combings of the fine flax, and then he says that can't be fine, it has to be coarse. He was going back on the case before that even, regarding the carpet de sodas, which is very fine. He says fine is a problem, but if it's coarse, then it's not a problem. As the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda on the Seri Shel Charosh, was he even going back on the carpet de sodas, that cannot be fine, it has to be coarse? Oh yeah, on the Ori Shel Pishtan Koyin, was he only going back on the previous case, which was regarding the fine combings of flax, that has to be coarse and not fine, but regarding the sawdust, that could also be fine. So the Gemara brings a raya from a braisa. Toshma d'tanya, we learn the braisa, b'huda oimer, na'eri shel pishtan daka hareyu kezefel, that the combings of fine flax are like manure, and that is that the Mishnah, on the previous Mishnah said that those are items that are mice of hevel, that increases the intensity, which is aser. So shma minah, na'eri shel pishtan koi shma minah, so we see that he only argues on the case of na'eri shel pishtan regarding the combings of fine flax, that cannot be fine, has to be coarse. However, does not also go back on the case of Nesaris Harashim, that case regarding the carpet disorders, that could be fine, and Yehuda agrees that would be permitted and doesn't have to be coarse. Now the Gemara continues discussing the topic of Atman, of insulating food from before Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins, Taimnim b'shlochin u'metalt noisen. That one is allowed to insulate food from before Shabbos in animal hides, and you're also allowed to move it. And that is whether you do hatmana with these animal hides or not, doesn't make a difference. It's something that's fit, it's not muktzah. And that is because muktzah is something that's not fit to be used, and therefore you can't move it. However, this, that you could recline on these hides, and you can use it as a, so to speak, a recliner. Therefore, you're allowed to, not only can use it for hatmana, you could also recline, it's not muktzah. However, the shearings of wool, one is allowed to use that also. It only maintains heat. It does not increase the heat, and therefore you could use a vatman. However, that you're not allowed to move, because those are mukta. It's set aside for weaving and for sewing, and these are the things that people want to use it for different items, and therefore you don't have it for mundane purposes. And that's what's called mukta. It's set aside for something else, not for mundane purposes, and therefore you can't move it. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Ketzeduai. So therefore, what does he do? So this one that used the shearings of wool for hatmana, for insulating it, so how does he take his pot out from it on Shabbos, since you're not allowed to move the shearings of the wool, and it's tumen in it, it's, so to speak, insulated in there. So the Mishnah says what he does is, Noikele sakisu vehein noifles, that he removes the lid, and then the shearings of the wool fall by themselves. And that is, he takes the cover, the pot cover, and that you're allowed to move because that has a shame, a din, a Torah of Kli on it. It's a vessel which is permitted to move. And therefore, by moving that, he does what's called tiltum anatsad, that, so to speak, indirectly by moving something which is permitted to move, he's going to be moving the shearings of the wool that's on it. And that's mutter. And although it's on top of it, so therefore, so to speak, the cover should be muktzah because it's a base for the shearings of the wool that's on top of it because it's totally surrounded and insulated by it. And there's a halacha of muktzah that when something is a base to something of muktzah, it's asr. Here, the pot cover is not a bus, it's not a base for the shearings of the wool, although it's on top of it, because it's only being used to cover the pot, not as, so to speak, a base for the shearings of the wool. It just happens to be on it. But the pot cover is not a base, like, so to speak, a leichter. The base is for the leichter, for the flame. However, here it's as a cover, and therefore it does not become a base, and therefore you're allowed to move the cover. And then, so to speak, the shearings of the wool fall by themselves. It's called tiltum anatsad. It's moved indirectly. What you do is that the box is turned on its side, and then you take it. And that is, when you're coming to take the pot, what you do is you recline the box that it's insulated in, and then you don't move the pot. And the reason is, why don't you move the pot? Why do you just, so to speak, tilt the box and then it's, so to speak, you could just spoon out the food? Why can't you move the pot? That is shemeyitol v'enyoch lachzik, because maybe you're going to take the pot and then you're not going to be able to return it. Because what happens is that the shearings of the wall that which are surrounding the pot, they're going to, so to speak, cave in once you take out the pot. And then you're going to want to go ahead and re-insulate on Shabbos because you want to save it for later, for the guests or whatever it is. And you're not going to be able to put it back in because now the pit that you had is filled up with the shearings of the wool. And they're muktzah, you can't move it, so therefore you're going to be stuck. And therefore you're not allowed to go ahead and take it out in the first place because you're not going to be able to put it back in. Chacham say no, you could take it out and then you put it back in. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly is the machlekes. Everyone agrees that the shearings of the wool is muktzah, so why would they say that you could or you cannot take it out, based on the concern that it's going to fall back in? So the Gemara brings a story that Yosef, Reb Yonasan ben Achinoi, Reb Yonasan ben Elazar, these two Talmid Chacham were sitting together. Yosef, Reb Chanina bar Chama Gabayu, and Reb Chanina bar Chama was sitting with them. For Kama Bailo, and he asked them the following question: Shlochen shel bal bayis tnan. In our Mishnah, did we learn when we said that the hides are permitted to use as insulation and that it's not muktzah, so you can move it around? Did we say that specifically regarding the hides of a private person? And that is what you're allowed to move because it's not being, so to speak, placed forever selling. And therefore, the owner is not makbet about it. He's not particular about it if it's going to get a little bit dirty or ruined because, you know, people will recline on it because it's not, so to speak, an item that has to be sold, which has to look perfect. Aval shel uman, however, if it was from a craftsman where there it's, so to speak, being prepared to be sold, then he will be very particular about it, and therefore, no, he's not going to let anyone recline in it, and therefore, you're not going to be able to move it. That would be muktzah, as the Gemara says, even a kapur alayu loymetaltein lehu. Since he is very particular about it, because it has to be perfect condition, he's not going to be able to sell it, therefore, that would be considered muktzah, that although we said in our mission that the shlach and that the hides are mutter to move around because you can recline them, that's only by a homeowner, but someone that has his hides ready to sell, that he would be makbul. And then, so maybe not, no, that even a craftsman, his stuff, he's not so particular about it, he'll be able to clean it or whatever, he'll be able to sell it. And definitely from a homeowner, from a private person, that it's for sure going to be mutter to move. Some of the Hur Bjoins and Bin Laza Mistabish of Balabaisnan. So Bjoins Bin Laza said that it would make more sense to talk about of a private person. Avshalom and Kabbalah, but you had a good svar, but if it was a craftsman, he would be very particular about it. He doesn't want to get ruined. And therefore, so to speak, Muktzah is set aside because of, as the concept of Muktzah, Machmas Chasar and Kis, because it's going to be a, so to speak, he's going to have a loss. He doesn't want it to get ruined. And therefore, it's so to speak, set aside and he doesn't want anyone to touch. So Amalur Reb Chanin Bar Chama, but Reb Chanin Bar Chama said back to him, Kach Ami B'Shmol Bar Biyesi. This is what B'Shmol Bar Biyesi said. We continue on to Amid Beis. Abba Sholchahav, that my father was a professional tanner. Vama, and he said during a weekday, he told other people, Heviu Shlochem and Eshvalen, bring the hides and let's sit in it, let's recline it. And therefore we see that even a craftsman that was a professional tanner, that he wasn't makbid about it. And therefore it would apply even to an Uman, even to a craftsman, that we would say that it's going to be mutter to move it on Shabbos, and they're not makbid about it. Tosfos Gemara asks, Meisvei, but we learned, Nisarin Shabbal Abayis Metalten Noisen. Regarding the boards of a householder, you're allowed to move it. Bishal Uman Imetalten Noisen, but the boards of a craftsman, you're not allowed to move. However, Mchishav Losses Alein Pas Lorichim, but if he had intended about the board, even if it was a craftsman that he's going to use it for bread for the guests, then Benkach Benkach Metalten. Then even if it's a craftsman, you're allowed to use it because it was, so to speak, taken away from Muktzah status into prepared status because he's going to use it, the board, for guests from now on. And therefore, it's allowed to be moved even if it's a craftsman. However, from the Gemara you see that if it's not going to be designated for that, it is going to be Muktzah because it's a craftsman. So you see that craftsmen are very particular about the items that are being prepared for sale and that it is Muktzah. So how could you say that it's not Muktzah? And that the Gemara says, Shani Nisarim to cover the life. That boards are different because there the craftsmen are particular about it. Because that it shouldn't get ruined, it shouldn't get warped. However, hides, which could be clean and it's not as delicate, that they would not be particular. As he said that his father was a tanner and he wasn't particular about it. And that even from a woman, it would be mutter to move it on Shabbos. So the Gemara tries to bring another proof. Toshma, we learned, Eirois, Bein Avudin Ubein She'in Avudin, mutter latal l'mashabbos. That regarding hides, whether they were tanned, which is when it's finished product, or whether it wasn't tanned, it's mutter to move it on Shabbos. However, lo omru avudin, that they didn't say that it has to be tanned, that is, they didn't say any differences in halacha regarding if it's tanned or not, that was el inyan tumah bilvad. That was only said regarding the halachas of tumah, that when it's tanned already, when it's already finished, then it's mekabel tumah, because it has to be a finished product. And if it wasn't tanned, then it's not going to be mekabel tumah. But regarding the halacha of muktzah on Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference if it was tanned or not, it's mutter to move it. Which the Gemara says, my love, loishna shabal abayis of loishna shaluman. So wouldn't it make sense that there is no difference here, that we said it doesn't make a difference what type of hide it is, that you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, whether it's from a household or whether it's a craftsman. And therefore, you're always allowed to move it. So the Gemara says, loish shabal abayis, it's talking about from a homeowner, from a private person. To which the Gemara responds, Ava shaluman, my boy, are you going to say that regarding a craftsman, what's the halacha? That aim etatlan, that you're not allowed to move it. And that is, only over there, they're only discussing that you're allowed to move it, whether tan or not, was talking from a private person. Ihachi, if that's the case, hadetani b'loy omru avudin ele inyatum bavad, then this that the Brisa, so to speak, made distinguish and said, that this that we made a difference between if it's tan or not was only for the halachas of tumah. But regarding the halachas of muktzah, it doesn't make a difference either way. So then, if that's the case, that as you just said, but regarding a craftsman, there is a difference, let us distinguish and say a difference regarding muktzah itself, regarding moving something. You could say there's a difference regarding an uman, regarding a craftsman, between if it's tanned or it's not. Because regarding when it's tanned and it's a finished product, then the craftsman is makbid about it. As the Gemara says, it should have said, b'med v'mamurim, that when did we say that if it's avudin, that it's even when it's tanned, that it's mutter to move it, that's b'shal balabayis, that's if it's from a private person. Av b'shal umen loy, but if it's from a craftsman, then since after that it was already made, it was already tanned, then he's already particular about it because now it's ready to be sold. Therefore, by him, there is a difference between avid and loy avid, as you wanted to say. And therefore, if that's the case, so why go say there's only a difference for tumah? No, even for regarding muktzah, there's a difference. It's only for a balabayis that there's no difference, but for umen, there would be. And therefore, it's mashma not like that, and that it would only be mutter. It would be mutter for both a balabais and for an uman, which is not like what we wanted to say. Tosfos Gemara says no. Kula b'balabais kamay. That tanoik statement was only talking about a balabais regarding an owner, and therefore, regarding a private person. On that case, we said that we can't find any difference between if it's tanned or not. Only regarding the halachas of tumah, that even by a balabais, it would make a difference if it's tanned or not regarding the halachas of tumah. But correct, it would make a difference regarding an uman, a craftsman. We're not talking about uman. We're talking about only regarding a balabais. So now the Gemara concludes that kitanoi, that really this question is a machlekes tanoi, because we learned oirish balabais metatl noisan vishal umen e metatl noisan. Tanakama says that the hides of a private person you're allowed to move, and from a craftsman you're not allowed to move. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Echad Zeh Matan Lo Yisem. Rabbi Yossi says, no, either one, whether a private person, whether a craftsman, you're allowed to move it. And that is, he says that it's not a difference. Like Abba Shlocha, that my father, the tanner, he says, come and bring it, that he wasn't particular about it. And therefore, it's a machlok tanoim regarding if this halacha was said only for a balabais, or if it was even said regarding a craftsman, that you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. So now the Gemara says that, that again they were sitting, and that is these Rabbanan that we mentioned on Amud Aleph, they again were sitting, and they asked the following question. This, we said, that the primary malachis of Shabbos are 40 minus 1, which is the 39 malachis of Shabbos. Connected me, that to what does it correspond? Where did we get this magic number of 39, that there's 39 malachis? So Amalhu Reb Chanina Bar Chama, connected avoidus ha-mishkan, that it correlates to the labors that were in the Mishkan, that the Mishnah over there says all the 39 malachas were necessary to be done in the Mishkan, and the Parsha of Shabbos is said right next to the Parsha of the malachas of the Mishkan, to learn from there to say that all those malachas which are usher, which were done in the Mishkan, are usher to do on Shabbos. So Amalhu Reb Yonis and Reb Elazar, he says, Kach Amar Reb Shimon Reb Yosef ben Lekunya, a different pshat. Keneged malacha malachdo yu malacha shabbatayra, that it corresponds to all the different times the word malacha is written in the Torah. As it says, Leisasaka malacha, that when it says that you shouldn't do all malacha on Shabbos, it corresponds to all the times the word malacha is written in the Torah, which comes out, Arbaim Chasa Achas, which is 40 minus 1, which is 39. And that's where we get the word 39 from, because it says not to do malacha, corresponding to kol malacha, all the malacha written in the Torah, and that it says it 39 times. And that the Gemara asks, by Yosef, Yosef asked, it says in the Pasuk, by Yosef when he came into the house of Potiphar, that in the day when everyone was out, only the Ashes Potiphar, his wife, was only home, says that he came to the house to do his work. So Rabbi Yosef asked, Miminyanahu Oiloi, is that word malachtai, which says to do his work, is that one of the 39 or not? So Abaye told him, let's bring a Sefer Torah, let's count all the times it says malacha, and we'll see that if it's from the 39 or not. Abayis backed up what he was saying with, once there was a statement that they said exactly the same thing, that they didn't leave from there until they brought a Sefer Torah, and they counted all the times that this, whichever word it was, and counted if that's how many times it was. And that's it, so let's settle it. You want to know it's from the 39 or not? Let's count up, and if we see that it's the 40th, then we know it's not from the count, because there's only 39. So Amalei Kikom Asafkeli says no. The doubt that I have regarding if this is from the 39 or not is because Mishum Dechsiv HaMalocha HaSedayim, because it says regarding the Malochas of the Mishkan, after it was all done, it says that the work was enough. And that is, I don't know which one of these two is not from the 39, because these two make it 40. And from the fact that it says that the Ovis Malochas, the primary Malochas, were 39, obviously one of these two, either the story with Yosef coming to the house of Potiphar, or this pasuk that says that the malacha, the work for the Mishkan, was enough, one of them is not from the 39. I don't know which one to exclude. And the question was as follows. When it says, v'hamalacha hisadayim, is that from the 39 that it says that the work was enough? And therefore, it's in reference to actual work that they had done. And it says the work that they did enough. In other words, they didn't do more or less than was necessary. And when they were thinning out the different coverings of the krushim, they didn't do it too much or too little. And when they were sewing the ureis, they did exactly as it's supposed to be. And therefore, when it says by Yosef that he came to do lasis malachtoi, that's the one that's excluded. And that would assist the one who says, Masech Desaita, that he was coming to do his tzrachav. In other words, he was coming to lay with her. What happened was that he saw an image of his father, and his father said that your brothers are going to be written on the stones of the ephod. Do you want your name to be erased from among them? Or maybe, no. Maybe Las Malachti meant he was coming to actually do his work. He was in charge of the household of Potiphar, and was coming to do his work. And that would help to say that the Bahamalocha Yisadayim, that's not a reference to actual work. As the Gemara says, he says, my doubt was, because it says in the Pasuk, V'amalocha Yisadayim, the work was enough, and Miminyanuhu, and therefore, is that from the 39? And therefore, V'hokamando Amar, Lasit Tzrachim Nichnas, therefore, when it says regarding Yosef, when he came to do his malach, he wasn't coming to do actual work. He just came to take care of his needs. He was coming to lay with the wife of Potiphar. Or maybe no, when Yosef was coming to do his work, it's not like the one who says that he was coming to lay with, he was coming to actually do his work, and the wife of Potiphar tried seducing him. And v'hai v'hamalocha yisadayim, but you have this pasuk by the Mishkan that says that the work was enough, where it says that the work, and l'chari that should be from the 39, and therefore it's going to be 40. And that wasn't talking about actual work. That's as the pasuk is mashma, that was talking about when everyone brought their nedavas, their willful offerings to the Mishkan to donate, all the donations. And as it says, that their work was complete, that all the bringing, all that bringing was complete, they didn't need any more. And that's because whatever is incumbent upon the person, that's called his avodah, his work. As the Gemara says, Hachi kama, Tishlim le'avidata, means that the task was completed, but it's not a reference to actual work like all the 39 malachas of weaving and planting and sowing, all these different things, and that this was also one of the 39 of, so to speak, they did exactly, not too thin, not too thick, they did exactly as it's supposed to be. Rather, it's talking about a general that their task was completed, and therefore it's not a reference to actual malacha. That was my question, which one of these means work and which one of them doesn't mean work. On that, the Gemara says, take with that the question stands, and it's inconclusive about which one is from the 39. That was Rav Yosef's question, that when Yosef came to do malachtai, is there one of the 39? Did he actually mean to do work, or does it mean he came to take care of his needs, and it's not one of the 39? So now the Gemara goes back to what was mentioned before, that Tanya Kamanda Omar Keneged Avodas HaMishkan, that we have a brisa that seems to say, like the one who says that the 39 malachas, they correlate to the different works, the different malachas that were done in the Mishkan, and not like the one who says that it's because of the 39 times it says in the Torah the word malacha. The Tanya has learned in the brisa, in chayavin elal malacha shekayitzu b'hoisav mishkan, that were not liable for malacha on Shabbos, only for the types of works that were done in the Mishkan, and that is heim zaru v'atem lo sizru, that in the Mishkan they planted and you cannot plant, heim katzru v'atem lo tekatzru, that they reaped for the avodah of the Mishkan and you cannot reap, and that is these were the dyes that they these different herbs that they planted and they reaped, they did all these things to dye the tcheles and the different hides that they used to cover the Mishkan, and they had to grind it and have to knead it, and these were the different samanim that they used to make a dye. And this that it says, the olam malachas of baking is really a reference to cooking of the dyes that they made, and it just, so to speak, says it in the way of baking because that's the more common application. And it continues the brisa and says, heim helu es akroshim mikarkel agola, that they brought up the boards, that when they had to go ahead from one place to another place as they traveled, they brought up the boards from the ground, which is the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, to the wagon, which is the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because the wagons were 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. And therefore, v'atam loy tachnisim Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Therefore, you cannot go ahead and bring it up from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to a private domain to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. When they finally came to the next place where they were settling, then they took the boards down from the wagons to the ground, which is from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Ram. You cannot take from the private domain to the public domain. And they would transfer from one wagon to another wagon, which was one Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, v'atam lo yisitziu Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And you are not allowed to take from one private domain to another private domain. To which the Gemara asks, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, my cover, what's wrong with going from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah? That's not one of the malachas of Shabbos. It has to be from either a private domain to a public, or in reverse, from public to private. To which the Gemara says, Abayev Rav, Jom Tavayu, V'item, and some say Rav Adar Rahava, that's Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, Derech Rosh Hashanah. We mean that it's going from one private domain, which is the wagon, to another one through a Rosh Hashanah, through a public domain. That is because that was the space which was between the wagons, which was Rosh Hashanah. And those things are forbidden. And therefore, it's like the Mandama that says that the Malachas of Shabbos are learned out from the Avodis in the Mishkan. That is because the Mishkan was, so to speak, a microcosm of the creation of the world, which encompassed all the activity that could be done, which was, so to speak, the concealment, which was the body. And Shabbos is the exact opposite. It's the resting of constructive and active work, and therefore whatever was done in the Mishkan, that's exactly what we do not do on Mishkan, that's what we don't do on Shabbos, and therefore we learn up to 39 malachas, not from the times that says malacha in Tai, but rather because it says it close to the malachas of the Mishkan, and whatever was done there, we don't do on Shabbos, and that's where we learn up the 39 malachas from.